If I had a superpower, I wish it could be that I could take away the sense of fear from people, especially the fear that holds you back and stops you doing the awesome things that you were meant for, because it affects so many people. Many of my coaching clients have come to me wanting to do things with amazing ideas, and they don't put it into action because there is some kind of frustrating fear that is stopping them. It is something that I've experienced myself time and time again. It is such a natural reaction because, you know what? Fear doesn't come from logic. It comes from emotion. It is your brain trying to protect you from something. And that is what makes it such a challenge to eliminate. But it's also something that you are going to come up against every time you push yourself out of your comfort zone, you do something different, you stretch yourself and be more. And that is also a beautiful thing as well. So if I had that superpower, I don't know, maybe I wouldn't use it, because sometimes putting yourself in fear and actually working through it and stretching is what makes you grow and what makes you realize you are capable of so much. Today, I want to talk about fear and how it can hold you back, how it can stop you from even starting, to help you feel that you are not alone. I have been working for myself for over 20 years and I've had a $3 million a year business. I now have this online course and affiliate marketing business where I've made over $500,000, and I still come up against fear all the time. I think it's natural as you grow and you try new things, try things that you have never done before. And I just want to reassure you that A, you are not alone in feeling that, but B, give you some things to think about and maybe some strategies to help you move past the fear. Maybe we can do this together. But fear comes in a lot of places, and sometimes it's the places that you least expect it to come. Now, you might have a fear of failing and just absolutely everything being a complete flop. That is normal. That is pretty much everyone's fear, I think. You're like, what if I do this and the whole thing is just a disaster? But what if you did it and it was incredibly successful? That fear can often be almost more paralyzing than the fear of what if it failed. Now, fear of success can come in a few different forms. Maybe it is the success that you get when you are more visible, and that means that you are more open to criticism. I've seen people at the very height of their careers and, you know, top of the industry, sometimes getting quite a lot of hate from people. Sometimes deservedly, sometimes undeservedly, but then they are subject to a mountain of criticism just because they are the leaders and the mentors of the industry. And that can sometimes be really hard to deal with. And I am not surprised if that has held me back, if it's held other people back, because you're like, I don't want to be so successful that people are then going to come and, you know, judge every move that I make and whether it suits them or not. And then how would I deal with that if that even happened? So sometimes it can be that visibility that makes you feel worried. If you go into the YouTube or Instagram comments of anyone with a significant number of followers, people on the internet are wild. They seem to be completely unfiltered and unhinged and will say sometimes the most completely shocking things. And unfortunately, that is part of this game of putting yourself out there and selling you as a brand and as a product, which is what we're doing when we're creators and we're in this digital product space. And it can be really confronting and it can absolutely hold you back. Things that you see happening to other people, you're like, I don't want that to happen to me. How am I going to cope if someone starts saying mean and nasty things about me? And there's definitely ways to deal with it. That's why I think a lot of people have other people to manage their social media. But that's going to happen. It is a part of it. And, you know, you can celebrate your haters, because when you get to that point, that means that you've made it. If someone's criticizing you, that means that you are saying something enough to people to feel something, to have that, you know, memorability about it, that it's not just sort of saying something bland and vanilla that will go into the void. You're standing up for what you believe in. And unfortunately, you know, when we're in a world where everyone believes different things, that's going to open up debate, sometimes criticism. And it's one of those things where I think the more that you do it, the more that you can move yourself away from it. In a previous business, it was a baby product business. And unfortunately, no offense to pregnant or, you know, mums with small children, there's a lot of emotions, there's a lot of tiredness, there's a lot of maybe not being on your best day. And sometimes people would say really, really nasty and hurtful things. So my advice to my team and to myself was always like, put your Teflon glasses on, let it hit you and float away, because sometimes those comments aren't coming from a place of malice. They could be coming from a place of frustration, and other people's comments is how they're feeling. So try not to let it affect you as much as I can, as you can. I know saying that is very different to actually feeling it, but perhaps you could create like a little a checklist, be like, oh, cool, like a gamification, like, yeah, this month I got 10 nasty comments, I've made it, like, you know, sort of look at reframing it in another way to help you cope with it. The other fear of success could be based around things that have happened previously in your life. Now, this is a little bit personal, but in my previous business, in that baby business that I was just talking about, I ran that for 9 years and it was incredibly successful. I met all the metrics of success. I was in the Sydney Morning Herald, praised as, you know, exporter of the year, had business awards, the big novelty checks, was invited to speak on government panels. And by every metric, I was incredibly successful. However, that business grew way faster than I could handle, and we made a few mistakes. And unfortunately, at the end of 2014, it dissolved in a cloud of dust and bankruptcy and was just the most awful experience. So there's a part of my brain that I'm still trying to retrain even now that thinks success equals going in a pile of flames, that success isn't something that'll stay around forever, that if you're successful at some point, then that is just going to end up in disaster and stress, no money, all of the things that go alongside with that. I will share the full story of that one day. I feel even 10 years later, it's still a little bit raw, but that fear absolutely still comes up now. There are certain times where I know that I'm holding myself back because it's like, well, if this is successful, then what will happen? So sometimes that fear can be based around success, which is kind of a crazy thing. It's been a bit of a mind flip to get my head around that, but that can come up as well. The thing I do love about fear, though, is that it's kind of predictable in a way, if you pay attention to it. I was having a coaching session with my beautiful coaches, Alessia and Jacopo, earlier in the year, and we were talking about a new offer that I wanted to create. And I was telling them about it, and I was like, all right, I'm going to really stretch here. I'm going to charge 10 grand for this, thinking that that was a lot. And they immediately went, no, 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 no. With everything that you've just told me, that has got to be a $50,000 offer. And I was like, what? I can't charge that. I can't do that. Like, that was my immediate like reaction, without even thinking, without any logicalness to that. I went straight away to, I can't do that. I can't charge that. And that is the emotional protection side coming in. And you may have similar scripts. I have done this with my own clients when I have suggested that they put the price up, when I am looking objectively, not emotionally attached to it at all, and saying, with everything that you're doing, you should be charging at least $1,000 for that. You're actually doing yourself a disservice by making it not look valuable by charging, you know, $99 or $100 or whatever it is. And again, immediate reaction is, oh, no, I can't do that. Like, oh, no, that's much too much. You don't understand my market. Like, you will come up with things to justify where you are at when you are challenged, because you're challenging your current view on the world. And that's what I mean by it. It doesn't matter how long that you've been on business and what level that you're talking about, whether it is a $9 a month membership through to something that, you know, potentially, I don't know if I'll do it yet. I'm still thinking. I certainly will charge more than 10 grand, but, you know, through to a $50,000 offer, a $100,000 offer, there's still that point that you're just like, but I've never done that before. Like, what if no one pays? Like, there's all these things that will go through your head, but it is stories that your head is telling you. This is not the logical thing. This is the story thing. So my suggestion is, when you do something where you come up against that challenge, note down what it is that is your immediate response. Because I looked back at a heap of situations where I was doing something I hadn't done before, and that, oh no, I can't do that, was the immediate response. And it's kind of like, that's your way of recognizing that that's your emotions taking over your logical brain and telling you a story that just isn't true. So maybe note down the things that are coming up. I can't do that. Oh no, that's way too much. You can't charge that in my industry. That's just not going to happen. Whatever it is, that script, those words, that is a sign that you need to pay attention and, you know, maybe get some logical thinking and try and, you know, out logic your brain. Not always easy, because often your emotional brain is the one that's going to take over, and especially in a fear situation, because that emotional brain is trying to protect you, you know. But it can be trying to protect you from what? Trying to protect you from those feelings like, well, who am I to be selling at that price? Like, who am I to be offering this offer? That imposter syndrome that can really take over. So try and dig a little bit deeper and see where it's coming from. Think, well, what is the worst case scenario if I did that? Like, I'm straight away thinking I can't, but what if I did? What would that look like? What would it mean if I presented that publicly? Is that the problem? Not that you don't think that people will pay for it, but that you fear the judgment that will come from your colleagues, from people in your industry, from the wider world. Maybe it's a judgment even from your family, like, or friends or loved ones who are thinking, oh, who does she think she is, like, selling for that price? Like, there's a lot of stuff that comes up. I know, being from down under, growing up in New Zealand and living in Australia, there is a very, very big culture of tall poppy syndrome. It's the, oh, you've got too big for your boots. Like, oh, who do you think you are? It's kind of this culture of cutting people down when they appear higher than the rest. You can sometimes even find yourself doing it to people in your world. It's like the, oh no, we've all got to be equal. Sometimes you'll get celebrated, but if you get, you know, too arrogant or too big for your boots, then you'll get judgment. So it could be that you've had a lifetime of that conditioning where you've seen that happen to other people and you're like, oh, I don't want to be canceled and I don't want people to judge me. So try and dig a little bit deeper and see what is coming behind that, especially if you notice those repeated scripts coming up. That is a message to you that that is not logical brain. That is fear trying to protect you from something. So try and work out what it is that it is protecting you from. The other thing is, though, that fear doesn't mean you can't do it, even if you've got that brain telling you that it can. It just means pay attention. Like I said, if you notice that same type of message, if you notice that same I can't do that reaction, look at what is going on. Look at the, what is the risk here? What exactly is your fear brain protecting you from? Is it just something that's really uncomfortable? And can you sit through that discomfort? Can you push through it? Or is there a risk? Is there a risk that if you do this, your family will be impacted in some way? There will be some severely negative consequence. You know, maybe if you do this and it doesn't work, you know, you will be, I don't know, kicked out of your house, you'll fail your mortgage payments, whatever the case is. Try and work out if the fear is something that is emotional or if it is an actual logical fear. I do come back to the fact often, especially when I get overstressed about things, sometimes I tend to stress a lot, is that this isn't something that's a life and death decision. This is, any decisions that you make in business can be changed, can be pulled back. There is very, very rare things that you will do, especially in a digital product business, that are going to have lasting consequences that you can't change, that you can't come back from, that you can't try something different, do something different. And even if that fear is there, and even if the worst case scenario happens, what is that worst case scenario? Often the worst case scenario isn't even that bad. The worst case scenario might be that you feel a little bit of embarrassment. Maybe it's that you don't meet your expectations. Maybe it isn't that you are destined for life living under a bridge. It's just that you got to tighten your belt for a few months. So really try and think about what is the worst case scenario of you going ahead with that. Because often when you actually can try, this, you know, trying to logic your brain out of its emotional reaction, we actually sit down and go, all right, what's the best case? What's the best thing that could happen? And what is the worst thing that could happen? And it will help you go, all right, well, the worst thing that could happen, I could cope with that. Best case, freaking awesome. So, you know, that might give you the confidence to move forward. Now, this is another thing that I'm very guilty of, and I'm really, really trying to reform, because it's something that not only doesn't help me, but I think it doesn't help my clients and students. And that is over-delivering and over-stuffing your offers with things to make them feel more valuable. And this can come from that fear that you are not giving enough and you are not doing enough. Now, many, many years ago, I worked as a massage therapist. was a massage therapist, sports therapist, and I had a very bad habit, and that was taking that hour-long massage session and giving more. And then I would end up very stressed because often my schedule would get blown out for the day because in my head, like, someone had paid me a lot of money for an hour. So I was like, oh, I need to make sure this hour is the absolute best. So I would try and, like, you know, cram that full or go over even. And I find myself often doing that with coaching calls. I find in my office that I'll be like, oh, I don't know if that's enough. They've paid that much money. Like, they need to have more. And it is a really, really common thing, especially when we are conditioned to see things like $27 offers that have, you know, $1,000 worth of value in it. And we feel like, well, my offer's not worth that much. Like, you know, I'm not giving as much as someone else is giving for that. So I need to give more to make mine feel more valuable. And what can often happen is people can feel overwhelmed. If you're not setting really clear boundaries around time, sometimes people will appreciate it. Sometimes they'll feel weird about it. And this is where I need to, you know, like I said, work on my own boundaries and also feel more comfortable with the fact that what I'm doing is enough. I've also noticed a pattern whenever I put my prices up, then I tend to, you know, stretch more because I'm feeling uncomfortable with the fact that my prices have changed and I feel like, well, they've paid more, that I need to give them more. And again, that isn't always in best service, especially not of yourself, especially if you're someone who tends to over deliver and, you know, end up in burnout, for example. So you've got to do things that are really working for you and also for your clients. If you have a program that has too much stuff in there and you've put it in there because you're like, oh, but, you know, I'm charging $2,000 for this program. It needs more, and maybe they need more Q&A sessions and more co-working, and I want to put in these bonuses and I want to do all these other things. Sometimes it can end up feeling for the person who's taking it like that they're not doing enough if they don't take part in all of that and they don't go through all the content. Or I have signed up for an offer in the past where it came with about 30 different courses and programs, all of them, you know, with hundreds of lessons. And I just got completely lost. I think I got to like the third thing and just went, oh man, I'm barely even coping with the first, let alone having all these other things. And again, it's that, you know, feeling like, oh, more is better and more isn't always better. Sometimes less is a whole lot better, not just for you, but for the people that you are serving. All right, let's talk comparison. Again, I've got personal stories. I feel like this is my confessional this morning. A few years ago, this is before I created my particular course, I was talking to someone about like what I can do. It was on a Q&A call. I was like, I've got these ideas, you know, I'm working Kajabi. And she was like, oh, you can't work in Kajabi. It's too niche. It's too specific. You know what you should do? You should create a course on how to make a course. And I was like, I can't do that. I'm not Amy Porterfield, like having, you know, a year or two before gone through Amy Porterfield's course. And she was like, yeah, of course you can. I was like, no, immediately, I can't do that. It's that I'm not that person. That person is the person to do it. That's the person who everyone looks at. Who am I to do that? I am an imposter. I am not good enough, like whatever the reasons are. But that is so not true. There are so many situations where you are able to sell things that other people are selling because you are giving your unique perspective. You are showing how you have done it. And I'm not talking about situations where you're literally just ripping off someone else's content, where you've never done the thing yourself and you don't actually know and you're talking and teaching from theory. I'm talking when you have programs where you have taken knowledge from a lot of different places, you have implemented it yourself, you have understood it, and you've maybe got your own way of doing things. That is uniquely you, and that's what makes you special, and that what is what comparison doesn't even matter. People want to learn from people that they like, people that they trust, and people who teach in a way that they like as well. So you don't need to be like someone else. You don't need to do things that someone else does, and the comparison thing can stop you. I did not want to do a webinar for ages because I was like, yeah, but other people do them so good. But often you can't hone those skills until you practice. You need to get the reps up. So yeah, you are not as good as someone else is doing it because they've done it 100 times and you've done it once. So the more you do something, the better you'll get at it, the less that fear is going to hold you back. And you know, just sometimes just putting in those reps and just doing it. When I first started this live stream series 22 days ago, I was consumed by the fact that I was struggling with going on video and going live because of video anxiety. It's this issue that comes up in my world every now and then, and I am pretty convinced now that video anxiety is my emotional brain holding me back from doing things that feel uncomfortable, because once I am live on video, I have no problems. In the last probably 10 days, I just realized this, you know, as I was preparing for this session today, video anxiety is not even something that I've talked about. It's not something that's come up in my head. It stopped being a thing because I'm putting in the reps and doing it. I'm pushing past it. The video anxiety was just a story that my head was telling me, and I did not want to believe other people when they said, are you sure? Because you seem pretty okay on video. But part of that is just getting comfortable by doing things that feel uncomfortable and putting in the reps. And when you look at other people and what they are doing as a reason not to do it yourself, but they're so much better. They do this and I'm not doing that. It could be because you just don't have as much, you know, as much time in the game, as much skill. You haven't done it as much. But it also could be because they are living a completely different life and world. They have a different business to you. You'll never know what's going on behind the scenes in someone's business, how much money they're spending on things, though, how profitable they actually are. You will never know how many team members that they have, how much work they're outsourcing, how much they're spending on ads, like what is happening in their business. And it could be a completely different business. They could have completely different goals to you. So they're structuring their business in a completely different way. You may see someone doing a membership and you're like, oh, I really love that. But you don't realize that they are spending, you know, 40, 50 hours a week on it because they love it. And they are just so excited by doing that. And that does not bother them at all, because every minute they wake up and they're like, yes, I love doing this. I can't wait to spend 10 hours working on my membership today. But for you, that might be your idea of hell. So if you look at what someone else is doing and you're like, oh, I want to do what they're doing, or I can't do what they're doing, you are making assumptions about what is going on. So you've got to stick in your own lane. You are your own beautiful person, and your way of doing things is enough. Your way of doing things is good. You want to attract people that come into your world because they like you. I remember when I did create my 30 Days to 1K course on how to create courses, because I did actually go through and do it in the end. I had so many people saying, oh, I just really love learning from you. People who had gone through Digital Course Academy with Amy Porterfield, you know, that's often like people talk about that as the pinnacle of courses, said, oh my gosh, I just really love learning with you. I just get so lost in Amy's course. There's so many people doing it, and I like your way of teaching. I love your vibe. And that was so reassuring, because I'd put my, you know, put that off doing that for so long, because I was going, yeah, but I'm not that. Like, you know, who's going to want to learn from me when they could learn from someone else? People want to. People vibe with you. They like your style and embrace that. Be you, and you are going to be different from anyone else doing it, and you're going to bring your own unique spin on it. I will say that, you know, training the fear muscle is something that can help push you through. You may not want to. It's going to feel icky. It's going to feel really hard, but that's okay, because hard is what makes you stronger. Doing hard things, even though they can feel incredibly uncomfortable, and like, you know, you can feel your entire body sometimes freezing up. When I looked at the videos from when I first started this live stream series, in the couple of days where it would record my face while the countdown was playing at the beginning, and I'm there going, okay, I can do it, freaking out. But now I'm just like, oh, quick. And then I'm calling, you know, out to my daughter in the house 10 seconds before, because now it's, the fear's not there, because I've pushed through it. I've trained myself out of it. So sometimes it's just taking those little micro steps. Sometimes it's big steps, but sometimes what you need to do is baby step yourself into it. You need to do the little things each day to, you know, feel sore afterwards, to feel that, you know, a little bit of pain, to know that every time you feel that, it's making you stronger. And then before you know it, the things that used to absolutely freak you out and become something you're like, no, I can't do that, will be so normal. But then there'll be a different thing to push yourself into. So that's the thing. Fear is part of the journey. It's not something that should stop you and keep you stuck, because it's going to keep coming up. And the best way to get through fear is to learn these strategies and learn things that you can do to help yourself get comfortable with being uncomfortable. Uncomfortable is a good thing. Uncomfortable can lead you to feeling like you are on top of the world, that you've done something that you couldn't have imagined doing. It lets you challenge yourself, and challenge and growing is just part of one of the things that makes us awesome humans. And sometimes you will realize you are capable of so much more than you thought you were, but you've got to get there either incrementally by doing the thing, or by just going, you know what, I'm going to go big, I'm going to go bold, I'm going to double my prices on everything, I'm going to stop doing the thing that I didn't want to, even though I know that I might get criticism. I'm going to push myself out of my comfort zone and do a live stream challenge for 30 days, even though I haven't been on video for 6 months. Whatever the case is, you can go big or you can do micro, but please, please promise me that you will push yourself that little bit. And if you need some support, ask me. I will be here for you, and I know exactly what it is like to have those crippling fears that hold you back. It's so much more common than you think. You can feel so isolated in it, and you can be like, why is everyone else, you know, so far ahead and doing everything? And sometimes it's just a case of because other people are just pushing themselves. And, you know, it's no shade if you're not, because this is an emotional reaction that, you know, it's trying to protect you. Your body and brain is trying to keep you in the place where it feels good and comfortable right now. But outside the comfort zone is absolutely where all the magic happens. So if you take anything away from today, please push outside the comfort zone. Tell me when you do it. Tell me if you do something that you've been scared of doing for a while. Leave a note in the comments and I will be cheering you on. And Kate, thank you so much for your beautiful comments as well and cheering me on, because you can do it. You are so much stronger than you think. You are capable of so much more than you may currently believe today. And I would so love for you to look back in a year and be like, man, I am so glad I pushed, because now things are super awesome and what used to feel hard now feels easy. My name is Sue from the Unicorn Advisory. This is what I'd do if. Tomorrow I'm going to be back again with a very practical session. I was getting ready before this session and I realized this is going to be a monster masterclass. So I'm actually going to put it over two sessions. This is what I'd do if I wanted to start a membership. So I'm going to go through all of the learnings that I have experienced over 5 years of running my own membership, working with clients who have set everything up from a $9 membership through to clients that are earning multi-million dollars a year from memberships. I got a lot of information in this brain and I'm going to be sharing it all over two sessions. And then I'll also be showing you how you can set up a membership in Kajabi, because there's no actual membership product in Kajabi because there are so many ways that you can do it, so many different things that you can do. So it'll be a two-parter. It's going to be pretty epic. So please do join me tomorrow for that live session on memberships. I hope you have a beautiful weekend. Be strong. Push yourself out of your comfort zone. Don't let fear get the better of you, because fear is just a message and it's your emotional brain, but you can do it. You can do it. I'm behind you. I believe in you. All right. Bye.